Show. I'm your host, Michael J., and this is Hypothetical. This week, I'm happy to have back for a special Thanksgiving episode the man behind the boards, my producer, Evgeny. Welcome back to the show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, part two, or take two, as it were.
Yes. We have recorded this episode once already.
Yeah, and the listeners will actually never hear my first ideas in their entirety, because I deleted the master file on accident.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with those knobs and dials.
There were no knobs and dials. If I had the knobs, the dials, the boards, the tape deck, all of this would have been on tape, and it would not have been deleted.
Uh-huh.
This is why I told you, if you want me to have these things, you're going to have to buy them for me.
You already have them. You're just denying it.
I just told you the whole thing would have been avoided if I had them. Why would I deny it if it would make my life easier?
Well, speaking of arguments around Thanksgiving, we're going to start We're going to start with our warm-up game, which is going to be Thanksgiving dinner. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who are you going to have Thanksgiving dinner with? You can have Thanksgiving dinner with anybody or anything. Where are you going to do it? What are you going to do? And why? When? What you got for me?
I was trying to remember my original answer, and all I remember was turducken, and I can't remember anything else around it. So, obviously, John Madden, because I have to have the turducken.
John Madden, the football announcer, former football coach. Well, former announcer, too. Video game namesake.
Yeah, which also means we have to have Chris Berman.
Chris Berman wasn't his partner. It's Pat Summerall.
No, but you also have to have Chris Berman because you have to have two personalities that have really cool catchphrases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pat Summerall was just kind of there.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
Yeah, he's there, but he's forgettable. You could just like paint him white and he would blend in with the wall.
Wow.
We know who will never listen to Hypothetical now.
Sorry, Summerall family.
Right. But yeah, so I'd have Berman. I'd have Madden. Okay. I think we would go ahead and do this in, we'd go ahead and do this in your hometown. We'd do this at Soldier Field.
Okay.
The Thanksgiving table would be set up on the 50-yard line.
Okay.
Going from sideline to sideline, but so, taking like up the entire table. Center logo. Yeah. Okay. Well, long enough to take up between the hash marks.
Okay.
And have you ever seen that thing at rodeos where they have people playing poker while the bull's running around?
Yeah. Yep.
We would be having Thanksgiving during the Bears versus the Steelers.
The Bears versus the Steelers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any particular reason for those two teams?
Actually, no. Let's scratch that. We're going to do Bears versus the Raiders.
Okay.
But not the modern day Raiders.
Okay.
Like early 90s Raiders, when they were the dirtiest players of all time.
Not the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No.
Okay. So old school Raiders versus the current Chicago Bears at Soldier Field with a dining table running across the 50-yard line. People are sitting
with
at
butlers
it,
and everything.
Butlers and everything. With the whole meal. How do they run plays without getting out of bounds?
That's for them to decide because
they're going to run through the table.
Yeah, the three of us plus Dan Marino and Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. We're all going to be sitting there.
Okay.
Having Thanksgiving dinner while announcing the game on the 50-yard line.
Okay. Interesting.
Someone may die.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some, at least some injuries.
Yeah. In this case, though, if you rough the turkey, it's an automatic ejection.
Okay, so you could go through the table, but you have to miss the turkey. What about the turducken?
You have to, well, since the turkey is part of the duck, which is part of the chicken, if you rough one, you rough the other.
Oh, so you're not going to have like a turducken and a separate turkey?
No, we're going to have a 40-pound turducken.
Okay. For a table, it's going to be like 30 yards long.
No, 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 no.
Because it goes from side to side.
No,
what's,
no, no.
What's the width of a football field?
It's angled side to side, but it's only going between the hash marks. A football field is only 50 yards wide. It's a football field is 120 yards long and 50 yards wide.
It's 160 feet long. For a football field.
But the table's not going to be 160 feet.
Okay.
The hash marks are in the middle. You know the two dotted lines that go down the middle of a field?
Oh, you're talking those hash marks.
Yeah, those hash marks, not the sidelines. the hash marks, but it's going to be going pointed sideline to sideline.
Okay. I got you now.
Oh, so yeah, that way it takes up the entire middle section of the field and they have to either go around the table or over the table.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it'd be literally impossible for a 300-pound behemoth to go through the table any other way.
Also, the hash marks are 60 feet from the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. So you've got
30 feet, roughly, right, a little over 30 feet.
A 30-foot table.
Okay.
A 30-foot table for seven people.
Right, and one turducken.
Well, and then there's the camera crew, then there's the desserts, the stuffing, you know, all the works.
Are you going to feed the camera crew?
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to be risking their lives to do all the filming of the play-by-play, then you better believe we are.
All right, good.
I mean, come on, I'm demented, but I'm not evil.
That's up for debate, I suppose.
Well, there is that.
All right.
And each time a player hits the table or hits some food or causes us to spill a drink, I get paid $50 million.
What?
Yeah.
By who?
The player that hit us.
Okay, what if they don't have $50 million?
Well, then they better find a way to get $50 million.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be fine with that.
I would hope so.
What about the refs? What happens if a ref crashes into the table?
Zebras are friends, so we'll be okay with the zebras occasionally hitting a table.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Anyone that listens to this that hates refs, I'm sorry, but zebras are good people too.
All right. So
even though I keep calling them zebras, which I believe is a derogatory term for refs.
Right. So you've offended the Summerall family, referees, yes, people who don't like referees.
Yes.
And you're probably upsetting some football players who are going to owe you a lot of money.
Well, I did say I hope it's not the kicker that hits us because they can't afford, well, Jack.
So you've offended kickers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in the warm-up game.
Yeah.
You're off to a good start.
Well, that's what I was going for.
All right, so why are you doing this at Soldier Field during a football game between the Bears and the old school Raiders?
Well, because up until global warming, Thanksgiving used to be this frozen tundra type holiday where the meal was meant to warm you up and remind you of the plentiful harvest that you had.
Right.
And the best chance we're going to have of an outdoor cold game is either going to be Lambeau or Soldier Field.
Okay.
I don't believe in going to the East Coast.
Right. We established that.
Yeah. Most places east of Ohio are dead to me.
So now you've offended the East Coast too.
West Coast is the best coast.
Entire East Coast of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're doing good.
Thank you.
One last question for you.
Okay.
The Raiders, since they're the old school Raiders, are they back when they were in their prime, or is it like today's version of them? So like the 60-year-old guys that played for the Raiders back in their prime. Back in their prime. Okay.
Back in their prime.
All right. So it's not going to be like the modern day Chicago Bears against a bunch of elderly football players.
Right. We're invoking hypothetical rules here.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were also trying to offend the elderly population and promote elder abuse or not, which is not a good thing.
No, they've already put up with enough shenanigans from the whippersnappers on their yards.
Right. Okay.
Get off me lawn.
All right. Well, you're offending everybody for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to be vanilla for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. So mine's going to be much more tame.
Compared to anything I come up with, of course it is.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to take Thanksgiving dinner out of the country. I'm going to travel across the ocean to Japan for my Thanksgiving dinner. And I am going to use Thanksgiving to help unite two cultures further, which would be the Japanese culture and American culture. So we're going to do a mashup of Thanksgiving dinner and those crazy Japanese game shows.
Nothing about this ends well. And you said my idea was horrible.
I didn't say your idea was horrible. I just said it offends everybody.
Fair enough. Continue.
I will. So for my Thanksgiving dinner, it is, of course, going to be a competition.
Of course.
Of course. And it is going to be an episode of one of those crazy Japanese game shows, but it's going to be Thanksgiving themed. So we're going to have a bunch of contestants, and it's going to be process of elimination. We're going to go from event to event and keep eliminating people until there's one winner.
Okay.
And the first event, you know, the one event that always sticks out to me, seeing clips from those crazy Japanese game shows, is the contestants all put on goggles. They have to try and climb like this plastic. It seems like it's an inflatable slide that's like 30 feet tall or something. And it's covered in some sort of like slick oil, like vegetable oil or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like impossible to climb because it's just drenched in oil.
The mountain of slippery goo.
Yes. And so the first person to climb to the top of the slide wins that event. So what I'm going to do is we're going to replace the oil with gravy.
Wait, white gravy or brown gravy?
We'll go brown gravy because I think it'll be easier to see on television.
Now, question really quick, sidebar.
Yeah.
Does sausage gravy count as white gravy or brown gravy because sausage is brown, but the gravy that attends it is normally white?
I have no idea. I'm not a chef.
Okay, back to your game.
So we're going to have the giant, like 30-foot inflatable slide with gravy pouring down it. Tons and tons of gravy. And it's constantly more gravy going down it. And you have to climb to the top. And those that can make it to the top advance to the next round. And those that don't are eliminated.
Now, is this lukewarm gravy or are you going to scald people?
Well, it's going to start out at room temperature. And as we add more gravy, it'll be fresh from the oven. So it'll get hotter and hotter as time goes on. So you want to get up there fast, which is not easy.
See, I think you should do the full elemental stages of gravy. So start frozen and work your way to a gas.
The problem with frozen is just hard chunks. So you can just swipe those out of the way and climb up a dry slide.
Yeah, but if you're having to dodge a 1-foot by 1-foot cube of gravy.
Don't worry. I got events coming up. We're going to have to dodge things.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
Yeah, so don't worry. Just hang on. We got more. All right, so once we've eliminated some contestants from the gravy slide, we are going to move on to the next event, which is a gauntlet style event. And it is going to be an Olympic sized swimming pool with pods floating on the top of the pool. You have to jump from pod to pod to get from one side to the other. And if you fall into the pool, you're eliminated. You have to make it from one end to the other. Now the pool is not filled with water because this is Thanksgiving themed. It is filled with cranberry sauce.
Oh boy, I feel sorry for the pool cleaning crew after this one.
Yes. So an Olympic sized swimming pool filled with cranberry sauce. You have to run across the pods without falling in. This is a crazy Japanese game show. So it's not straightforward. You don't just jump from pod to pod and make it to the end. It's a gauntlet.
What makes this unique?
I call this a gauntlet. So there are going to be swinging objects. And we are going to have on both sides of the pool frozen, giant frozen butterball turkeys hanging from ropes that are going to swing from side to side, knocking people over as they try to jump from pod to pod. So you
now, are you going to bring back the American Gladiators to toss the butterballs back and forth?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we got to immerse the Japanese into American Gladiator culture. So we'll definitely bring them back. And what we'll do is...
See, what you need to do, you need to have Turbo at the end with like the Gatling gun that they used to have in the assault course.
Oh, hang on. We got... Don't worry. That's coming up. Not in this event. We have that incorporated into another event.
Oh boy.
So what I think we'll do is because we're going to... You know, bring American Gladiator culture to the Japanese. We'll bring some Japanese sporting culture to the Americans watching, and we'll have not only the American Gladiators that are swinging the ropes at the frozen turkeys at the contestants, but also have some sumo wrestlers on the sides of the pool also swinging the ropes.
I was about to say, I thought you were getting ready to say, no, they're swinging butterballs and sumos.
No, I have too much respect for the sumos to swing them on ropes to knock people over.
Okay. I was also wondering the logistics of swinging a 450-pound person.
I'm sure we can figure it out. If we can swing a whole bunch of giant butterball turkeys, I'm sure we'll figure out. We could figure out a way to swing heavier objects, but that's not it's not quite what we're going for. So we're going to have the frozen butterball turkeys that are swinging. You have to get through that gauntlet without falling in the cranberry sauce pool, make it to the other side, and you advance to the final round. Which I expect by then we probably won't have many contestants left, but there'll be some left. And they are going to move on to the American Gladiator Assault Field inspired final event. And if you'll recall from the classic American Gladiators game show, the assault event, they basically had a tennis ball machine gun. It was basically this big circular device that was on a rotating pedestal, and it would fire tennis balls at competitors at like 100 miles an hour. And all they wore was like an old school catcher's chest protector to protect themselves from his tennis balls. So you know that there were like bones broken and bruises that were bigger than anything you've ever seen before. I don't understand how that could even be a legal event, but we are going to do.
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s or 80s or 90s, something like that.
Yeah.
So, and the purpose or the goal of that event was to, you have to go from station to station and try to get
to zigzag across the field.
Zigzag across the field until you get essentially right in front of the tennis ball shooter. And I think you have to push
a
button or something.
Yeah, where you have to do a bear crawl. Like, you've got that low wall that you've got to bear crawl down below, yep, so they can't just like hit you in the butt with one.
So we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to replace the tennis balls with pies. Thanksgiving pies. So pumpkin pie, French silk pie, cherry pie, apple pie, that kind of stuff.
Are these like just going to be circular pies in a sabot so they actually have the right aerodynamics? Or are these going to be like whole?
These are full-size like Thanksgiving pies. Some will hurt more than others because like a pumpkin pie will be heavier than, say, a blueberry pie.
And the cheesecake, just because of the mass involved, would knock you out.
That's what makes these game shows fun.
Wow, okay.
And whoever can...
Okay, well, what's the contestant going to be firing back at the gladiator, though? Because part of that game was the contestant could hit the target above the gladiator and win.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it wasn't all just about getting to the end and hitting the buzzer. That was if you sucked at aiming the entire course.
That's a good question. I'd say they could throw stuffing, but that's not going to be hard enough.
Ooh, dinner rolls.
Yeah, there you go. That works.
So they have various dinner roll launching contraptions at each station.
Right. Yes. And if they hit the target above the gladiator firing the pies,
then the gladiator is doused in like green bean casserole.
Yeah, he's buried in stuffing.
No, not stuffing. Stuffing is good. Green bean casserole is horrible.
I like green bean casserole if it's done right.
That suddenly explains a lot of things.
They'll be buried in some sort of Thanksgiving food. Maybe just the leftovers.
That would actually work. Just a whole mismatch of
whatever's left
leftover food.
So
sparkling cider poured on top for added effect.
So whoever completes the course in the fastest amount of time or hits a target in the shortest amount of time wins the show, wins the game.
Tell them what they've won.
They can then sit down for dinner with me.
Okay, tell me what they really won.
That's it. Nobody said this was a great game show.
Okay. No dinner with Snoop Dogg. No dinner with...
Nope.
With.
Okay. Nope.
So just dinner with you.
Well, I'm going to be there eating dinner anyway, so they'll just be an empty seat somewhere. They can sit down and eat. I mean, they don't have to sit with me. They can move their chair wherever they want.
Huh.
But they'll get their food. They'll get a chair. Not promising that they can put their food on a table. They might have to keep it on their lap, but... So you get if you win.
Boy.
If you lose, you can go home hungry, I guess. Or you can dig out the gladiators from the assault field that are covered in the leftovers and steal some of those.
You know, I think we should move on to the main game. Your idea has made me appreciate the fact even more that Thanksgiving is just a Thursday.
You're telling me you wouldn't watch that game show on TV?
Watch it, yes. Travel to and participate in? Hell no.
But you'd watch it. I'm telling you, man, this would be great TV. And it's a much more tame idea than playing, setting up Thanksgiving dinner in the middle of an NFL football game.
At least let me know one thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to have the Japanese announcers that are overdubbed in horrible English?
Yeah, we can do that.
And are they going to be wearing like the cheesy samurai outfits? Like in Takashi's Castle or whatever it was that appeared on Spike TV?
No, we're not going to. I don't want to play up to all those potentially offensive tropes.
Oh, what you could do is Japanese people, respectable Japanese people in business suits, speaking in perfect English, being overdubbed in terrible Japanese.
By ignorant Americans?
Yes.
All right, there we go. That'll work.
I don't think I made it better.
I'm not sure it was good to start with.
Thanks.
So now that Thanksgiving's over.
And I've offended half the country.
I think if we add it up, it's probably a little more than half the country.
We're just going to stick with half. I have to have aspirations.
Okay. You're probably going to need to, you're probably going to wake up on Black Friday. You're not going to want to shop. You're going to want to turn on the TV and watch a cartoon. Just help you relax, chill out. So today's main game is cartoons. We need to create our own cartoon. I want to know the name of your show, what channel you're going to air it on, explain the premise of it, tell us who the main characters are. And of course, as you create this amazing new cartoon, it's inevitably going to become a gigantic success and spawn off all kinds of merch. So I want to know what type of merchandise you're going to have to help promote the show.
Okay. Okay. I remember my answer for this one. And since giving that answer, we had another session.
Yes.
And things changed a lot. So the cartoon would be called The Adventures of Corwin the Cleric.
Okay.
For those who don't know, a cleric is a character class in D&D who sits behind while other people take damage and do damage, and they heal people. They're your medic.
Can you explain D&D in one sentence?
Okay, D&D. A bunch of semi-educated people sitting around a table, rolling dice, having fun, and role-playing.
Okay. That was one sentence. It wasn't too run-on, so that'll work.
Yeah, there were only four commas, so we'll allow it. But was there an Oxford comma? That is for debate.
And hopefully not part of your cartoon, because that'll probably...
No. So the whole premise of this cartoon, it starts off with an adventuring party. You have a monk, a ranger, and a cleric. And they just meet in a tavern like every D&D party does.
Okay.
And they're tasked with going on quests and whatever to make ends meet. And as time goes on and they go on more and more quests, bad things happen. Like the monk explodes a griffin by punching it in its nether regions.
Ouch.
Yes, that was actually an interesting session, come to think of it. The half-elf ranger gets into a sordid, one-sided love affair with the halfling cleric. One-sided is actually an apt description for what happened. Yes, that ranger had some issues. It just gets worse and worse from there. So
you know, like, this is a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
That you're making, okay. Just checking.
Yeah, I grew up watching He-Man and Thundercats.
Okay.
Yeah, those cartoons had moments, dude.
I'm sure.
And this one would have moments too. I mean, like in Corwin's adventures, he's destroyed an entire city. He sent an entire city to the Nine Hells.
Okay.
And he helped the Tiamatian army, the bad people that worship dragons. He helped their army take over the holiest city in the entire continent. He's supposedly a good guy. That's the whole thing. His actions, he tries to do so much good, but his actions lead to so much death and destruction.
It leads to death and destruction because he's a bumbling idiot, or because...
No, he's halfway decent at what he does.
Just has bad luck?
He puts too much faith in other people, and if you walk up to him and say, trust me, he caves in and trusts you.
Okay, who is this cartoon designed for? Who's your target audience? Because I'm confused.
The target audience would be the same people that were into like Dragon Ball Z and Courage the Cowardly Dog, Doug, you know, that kind of stuff.
Doug, isn't that like an American cartoon?
Yeah. And here's where it took a weird turn. Fun thing, though. Monday took a turn for the worse.
Also,
Corwin died.
Uh-oh. Is the show over?
Well, actually, okay, I stand corrected. He tried to consecrate a black sphere of annihilation that's holding up this necromantic ziggurat. And
are you using words or just making funny sounds? Because I don't understand any of that.
People that listen to our show would understand. A sphere of annihilation is like a crystal ball, but it's black and it destroys things. A ziggurat is a tall tower. Necromantic means that it harnesses death energy.
Okay.
Remember, semi-educated people. But yeah, he tried to consecrate this evil thing. The evil thing said no, knocked him back against the wall, and did enough damage to take him down to zero health points. And he failed his first death saving throw. And then the guy who's hosting our game said, this is where we'll pick up in 2 weeks. To which we almost all threw our drinks at him and almost flipped the table. Because he left us on the most evil of cliffhangers. But that's also how the show would be. Like, that's how the cartoon would be.
Well, that makes sense for a show to leave things on cliffhangers. The rest, yeah, but now we have the rest of your show, I don't understand.
Right, but now we have to find out if the cleric, who is the only remaining character from the original party,
yeah,
because the monk was cleaved in twain by a possessed greatsword, and the ranger developed PTSD and decided to create a religion based off of an elder mimic, which is a treasure chest that can mold into various things, and it tries to eat you. That's what a mimic is.
Do you just take words out of a hat and put them together to make this game?
You are missing out, my friend.
I just don't get this.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Well, it leads to some really good merch.
Okay. Let's hear the merch.
So the merch would be like for the demon possessed sword. It would be a replica greatsword. So imagine a 5.5 foot tall sword.
Okay.
That has some LED lighting in it that makes it look evil and possessed.
Okay.
And that would be called Craven Edge because it's a sword based off of sucking the life force out of the targets that you hit.
All right.
Yes. Then so you've got the weapons, then you have the armor, then you have the clothing lines. So like in Corwin's case, we're not going to go into detail, but his character earned the nickname Mighty Javelin. Mighty Javelin happens to be etched on the codpiece of his armor.
Okay.
So you've got the weapons that appeal to the young adults. You have the armor codpieces that cater to the older adults.
So you're going to be selling javelins?
Yes. Javelins. Yes.
I mean, it just seems appropriate.
Well, yeah, I mean, a javelin would definitely be one of the weapon sets, even though he doesn't use a javelin, he uses mace, so have fun figuring that one out.
Okay.
The funny thing is, in-game, Ryan, the person who plays our cleric, named his original mace, Mace Windu.
Is that supposed to be a reference to something?
Well, Mace Windu was a Jedi who wasn't able to kill Palpatine.
Is that like Star Wars or Star Trek or something?
Wow. I'm going to shed a single tear for your childhood.
I had a great childhood.
Tear has been shed.
All right, good.
Yeah. So, I mean, the merch actually, there's so much you can do with medieval-themed merch.
Right.
I think ThinkGeek has an entire section just dedicated to stuff like that.
You could probably do like a set of collectible trading cards. Each character that dies off, you got to collect all the characters. You have like their death certificate on the back.
Okay, I like the death certificate idea. Like the Eric Ball Crusher ones would be rather interesting. So like for his card, it would have his picture and then underneath the stats of all the people or creatures he killed by punching them in their nether regions. The monk was messed up.
Is this a game for 13-year-old boys?
No.
I don't understand the concept of D&D apparently.
Okay. His character was a halfling monk, so a monk that's like 3 feet tall. If you're a monk that's 3 feet tall and you punch things to death, where are you most likely to hit? A standard-sized person?
No, I get that.
Or an orc?
I get that. I just don't get the concept. The overarching concept of D&D, apparently. But that's a discussion for another day. What?
Take Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I never saw it. Or read it, or whatever it was.
Take Knights of the Round. No, you haven't watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Nope.
Take hockey.
Okay.
Replace the sticks with medieval weapons.
Okay. Now we're on to something.
Take away the helmets.
Okay. Dangerous.
And have them go on a quest for stupid things that the mayor of a city tells them to do. Like, go kill the mayor of another city because he's evil.
Okay. Now that's a cartoon I would watch.
There you go. Now imagine that with magic.
I like the hockey one better.
Well, no, but I mean, imagine magic being part of that world too.
Okay. So like,
and you have a version of D&D that you can understand.
Like David Copperfield and Chris Angel, that kind of magic.
If they could like summon swarms of locust and cause big columns of fire to appear and destroy things. Yes.
Now I get it. All right. So, you're not creating the best cartoon ever because you're not making the hockey version. You're making this mythical version. What channel is it going to air on?
It would definitely have to be Cartoon Network, like after 11 o'clock at night.
Yes. With all sorts of like parental warnings.
I think the first 5 minutes would be a parental warning read in every language.
Sounds about.
Warning. Do not watch if you have any. No. The perfect warning.
Warning. Do not watch. Period.
Wow. Thank you. You're a fun one there, Michael. The bad thing is our game master running our campaign is also named Michael.
Okay. Not sure what the bad part is, but okay.
Well, so Monday morning, I recorded the first take of this episode with Michael and then spent my evening having our original cleric killed by Michael.
So you obviously associate yourself with some pretty awesome Michaels.
I'll let the other Michael know that you said he's awesome. He will have no clue who you are, but he'll like that.
All right, so I'm going to remain 1,000% confused about your cartoon.
Of course you will.
And I'll probably never watch an episode because I don't watch movies or cartoons that I don't understand.
I'm not going to let you watch an episode until you watch Monty Python's Holy Grail.
All right, so I'll probably never watch an episode of your cartoon. But what I will watch is the cartoon that I'm going to develop, which is going to be...
I would hope that you would watch it for quality control.
Oh, yeah, but it's also just... I'm going to watch it because it's going to be amazing. But,
says you.
But before I give you that show, I'm going to give you a couple of the ones that I passed on that were my original concepts, but I think the one I'm going with is got the most room for success. So originally, I was going to create a Full House cartoon because Full House is awesome, and who wouldn't love it in cartoon form? But then I realized that not everybody recognizes the awesome of Full House, so I'm not sure how big the audience would be. I think it would be big, but it won't be as big as the show I'm going to pursue. So then I was going to develop a cartoon version of Slapshot focused on the Hanson brothers. Wrong Hanson brothers. That's Hanson. They don't use brothers, even though they are brothers in their name.
Okay.
I'm talking about the outrageously ridiculous characters from Slapshot that like to fight and play with model trains.
Wait. There was a model train aspect to Slapshot that I never knew about.
Have you not watched Slapshot?
No, I've not watched Slapshot.
Wow. Okay. You need to rectify that.
I will watch Slapshot at the same time you're watching Holy Grail.
No. Slapshot's a much bigger classic.
No. Holy Grail has changed nations. Slapshot
has changed me.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that.
But you're proving my point as to why I'm not pursuing the Slapshot cartoon, because not enough people have grown to appreciate Slapshot yet. So
you would be the only one that knows about it.
Oh, I think other people know about Slapshot, at least the Hanson brothers.
I've officially offended every hockey fan in the country now.
Or at least those that have seen Slapshot.
There is that.
Yeah. So I want to reach the broadest audience possible. So what better way to do that than through a crossover show? There's been a couple of cartoon crossovers over the years.
Okay.
You know, some of the more famous ones are probably like the Flintstones and Jetsons did a crossover episode. Simpsons and Family Guy did a crossover episode once. And they're cool gimmicks. Mine's not going to be a gimmick. Mine is just going to be the ultimate awesome crossover. And it is going to be called Who's a Good Dog? And it's going to star my favorite underdog dog cartoon characters from my childhood.
But Underdog was only a cartoon once.
These are cartoon dogs that are underdogs, not Underdog himself. Underdog will not actually be in my cartoon.
Okay, keep building my disappointment then.
No problem.
Wow.
So, of course, the leader of the pack is going to be Odie from Garfield.
Okay.
Because he's my favorite of all the cartoon dogs.
I will agree.
He's the best.
Best dog.
He is best dog, and he never got the respect that he deserved. So this show is going to be all about making sure that he gets the respect that he deserves. He's going to be the leader of the pack. Joining Odie on this adventure is going to be Astro from the Jetsons, another good dog.
Fair enough.
We're going to have Dino from the Flintstones. He's like a dinosaur dog, but he's dog-like enough to be qualified for the show.
We'll have to let other people make that decision. He may not make it past the first couple episodes.
Oh, no. You don't let dogs down like that. We're treating dogs with respect on this show.
He's a pint-sized brontosaurus.
He's dog-like enough. They treat him like a dog on the Flintstones.
Fair enough. Okay, so. I'll let you have that one, but there's a giant asterisk next to your show now.
Scooby-Doo will be...
Obviously.
Part of the crew. And Brain, the dog from Inspector Gadget.
So the two dogs that actually did all the work while the humans took all the credit.
Correct. And The premise of the show is this crew of good dogs are going to save the world. And they're going to go on adventures, various adventures, against real life dictators from past and present, potentially future.
I'm going to point out one flaw in your show here.
Okay.
You've got some great dogs here.
Yes.
And Who's a Good Dog has a chance to be a good show.
It's a great show.
But you're wanting them to save the world, and you're not including Underdog.
Correct.
Underdog was a superhero crime-fighting dog.
Correct. But he got the respect that he deserved. I don't feel like my crew of five dogs got the respect that they deserved in their respective shows.
And you're also leaving out Pork Chop.
Who's that?
The dog from Doug.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Then you've missed out on Quail Man and his dog.
Sure. I'm sure there's a lot of other dogs too. And there might be guest appearances by other dogs at some point, like Huckleberry Hound, or I don't really know what other dogs there are, but I'm sure there are others. But this is going to be my main crew. They are going to fight off evil dictators like Saddam Hussein, Kim Jong-un, whoever. Each episode will be a different one. And they're going to go on these wild and crazy adventures to save the world. And this is going to air on, I think, NBC. We'll start out as a traditional Saturday morning cartoon, because I think we need to bring that back. but it's going to be so popular that NBC is going to move it to their must-see TV Thursday nights. Prime time.
When Fox inevitably buys the show, are you going to try to move it into the same time slot as The Simpsons or Family Guy to upend them?
Well, if Fox buys a show, they would put it between them. But Fox isn't going to buy the show. All the networks are going to see the huge success that NBC has, and they're all going to try to do their own ripoff versions of the show. But I'll have the original Good Dogs.
So that's your evil plan to take over cable TV?
No, this is broadcast TV. This is over the air. NBC.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch TV.
I mean, I'm sure once it's in syndication, after a couple hundred episodes, you'll find it on cable networks.
Okay.
That's the show. So for my merchandise, obviously we'll have the classic stuff, t-shirts, stuffed animals, things like that. We'll have dog treats that are branded, Good Dog, dog treats. Probably have like character chew toys for the dogs. Bedding for the dogs, for their dog beds.
Are these going to be orthopedic beds? Are they going to be made by Purple, by Casper?
I don't know. It'll just be like, it won't be the bed itself. It'll be like sheets for the beds, pillowcases, stuff like that. I mean, if one of the mattress makers wants to make dog beds and license the Good Dogs brand and the characters, I'm sure we can strike a deal.
Same thing with the dog food?
Yeah. We'll have Good Dogs dog food. Only the best ingredients.
Okay, so you'd farm that out to like Blue Moon or one of those?
Sure. I don't know anything about dog food, so.
Both of my dogs are now offended.
Well, you can be the VP of dog food. How about that?
What a job title. What do you do for Who's a Good Dog? Oh, I'm the VP of food.
Dog food.
Human food? No, dog food.
Yeah.
What does a VP of dog food do? You don't want to know.
Your dogs could be taste testers for you.
To be fair, and this is going to be a sidebar here, my dogs will not eat a dog food that I myself will not eat.
I don't want to pursue that line of discussion.
It is what it is.
Yeah, let's leave it there.
Yeah. I've done crazy things in my youth.
Who's a Good Dog is coming to NBC this fall. Look out for it. It's going to be awesome.
It's already late fall, so you may want to make it like coming fall 2019.
You know what I mean.
Okay, next fall.
Sure, yes, it's coming next fall. It'll be on Saturday mornings for the first couple Saturdays in September, and it'll take off like a rocket ship, and it'll be on Thursday nights by the end of September.
Nice.
Yeah. I got high expectations for Who's a Good Dog.
And you heard it here first on the hypothetical.
And I think that just about wraps it up for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks, Evgeny, for joining me again. Where can people find you online?
Well, they can send their direct hate mail to me at The Inked Well on Twitter and Instagram. Or they can support the various endeavors I do at patreon.com/theinkedwell. I think that's pretty much it for me.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thanks again. And that's it for this episode of Hypothetical. Thanks for listening. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _hypothetical. And subscribe to Hypothetical on your podcast player of choice. And if you do have a complaint of any sort, real or fake, about anything Evgeny said today, obviously you have nothing to complain about me, you can give us a call on our official complaint line, which is 937-63-HYPER. That's 937-634-9737. Or send your complaints over email to hypotheticalshow@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Hypothetical.